Accession number 11377, reel 13.
Mr. B. Bateman, reel 13. You'd come back from the Capuzzo action, Mr. Bateman, and to the place where the battalion was concentrating after the action.
Yes.
What were your initial reactions to that situation?
Well, vaguely, we came back and we reported in, and we were told we'd been reported missing. We said, no, that's all right now. So we settled ourselves down, and they were bringing the wounded in, and they were checking up on who was who and who wasn't who. And we saw one or two of the officers I knew. There was Lieutenant Blakely. He'd lost an arm and part of a leg, and he died eventually. And the others was only like bullet wounds and shrapnel wounds. And the doctor, the MI, the army doctor, medical officer, he worked well. He did.
Do you recall his name?
I can't remember his name, what you call him. And Ardern was still out trying to round up and say, trying to find out what had happened to most of his companies. D Company, I think, had got the most of it, and because there wasn't many of them left. And there was, we had two signallers, they were both killed. There was Popeye Davis. He was sent back with, tried to get back with the message, and he was killed. One of the last said he had his head blown off. So there was Tiddly Binks, he was the other signaller, and he tried to get back, but he was shot down. And eventually a bloke called Medford got through with the message, and I think he was awarded the MM. But I think the two signallers were overlooked. I think they should have been mentioned. And that's as far as we got to know this later on, like, we didn't know then, like. And
what was the scene like, coming back to the battalion, seeing all these casualties? How did you react to that? These are the first men.
Well, we never really took any notice of it, no. Because we didn't realise what had happened. I think because A Company and B Company, they hadn't had so many casualties, but it was mostly D Company and C Company, I think, that had the most, as far as I know, like. But there wasn't many of us, many left, and now there were quite a lot that were quite worried, like, how many had been killed and that. But when eventually, when we got to, or later on, we got to know that them had been taken prisoner. Mm. So we got to know the boat, and then we pulled down to the escarpment. I think I told you about this down Halfire Pass. And we went down to the back to Halfire Pass, and then we went within about, I think, about 2 miles of the Halfire Pass. And that's when we dug in there. And then we got reorganized. Everybody got back what were. See, everybody's got to know where everybody was and everything. And then we, all of a sudden, we uplifted and went back to Bugbug.
What were you doing there?
Well, to the truth, it was just like sand dunes. And then we started getting some reinforcements came up, like.
Where were they coming from?
They were coming from Fayed, I think. And then we got another Essex regiments. And we got some signallers, and there's a chap called, at the moment, I was, wait a minute, no, was I an NCO? Can't remember. I know, we got back, and this chap called Ben says, I'm a dispatch rider. He says, what's the chances of getting to be a dispatch rider? Oh, I says, you can be a dispatch rider. And so he got a dispatch rider. He hadn't, because he says, I'm not used to being riding a motorbike in the desert, because in the desert there, it's terrible riding a motorbike, because you've got all the cloud, because you're up and down the convoys, you know. And he goes, now you're covered in dust and everything, the sand, and you know, the story is getting your lugs and everything, like. And, but after that, it's vaguely, now then.
The Essex men that came to you, how did they settle in? Because this wasn't their regiment.
Oh, yes, settling in. There was a chap called Bennett, there was a chap called, I can't remember how many, but I know, and Sanderson. I got it well with them too. But I got promoted to Lance Corporal. I can't remember when I got. I think it was just before we left to go down to Cassassine to get all regrouped and everything, like, and get some more signalling equipment, like some stores what we lost on the Capuzzo. So when we got down to this Cassassine, he says, right, we're going to have some leave. We're going to Cairo. So they granted us 3 days leave into Cairo. So, yes, I was on the scope, that was right. So me and a chap called Joe Gee and Jakey Harper, we went to, three of us went to, I think there was only three of us, so many at a time, so three of us went to Cairo. And we got caught by the MPs going out of bounds. But there wasn't much in Cairo.
Where did you stay?
Like a boarding house. There was... Now, how did we find it out now? There's somebody there met us on the station and they told us where to go, like, and directed us to go. And all we did was just walk around sightseeing. That's all we did. Can't remember, it was cinemas. Don't know what about cinemas. So one day we decided to have a Texas Army, he says, they'll take us out of bounds, these Russians. And that's when the coppers raided us.
Had you got to the brothel, though?
I were inside the brothel. And what made me laugh, we were talking to the girls, like, and all of a sudden the doors bursted up, and I can't understand what happened. But once somebody come flying past me, they jumped into a wardrobe and shut the doors. And I said, and I looked, and I opened the wardrobe. When I went, I looked, and there was no way out. I'm sure and sure the bloke went in there. But anyhow, the MPs and the Egyptian police took us to the police station. And we gave our identification, like, our pay books, like. But we never let them have it, because you weren't supposed to leave loose of your pay book, because that's more like the identification. So we produced them, and the inspector took our names down, like. And then the MPs took us back to our... Actually, we were kept in the cells, that were it. They took the girls and all the women, but no playing war. And we stepped in this cell, three of us, overnight, like. So I went back to our lodgings, and we had to go back to our camp, like. And they said it would be reported. So a couple of days after we got back to the camp, we were put in front of the company commander, and he said, well, you've been an NCO. You have to go to CO. So the two lads, they got 3 days CB each. So I went in front of the CO and I got reprimanded. Mm.
Do you recall what he said to you?
No, I can't. He says, well, actually, my charge was being out of bounds and associated with private soldiers.
So as an NCO, you weren't supposed to associate with private soldiers?
No, I wasn't supposed to associate with private soldiers. You weren't supposed to go out with them anyway. You weren't even allowed to drink with them, because they had different places for NCOs and privates, such as canteen facilities. And, well, that went off of that, and then they decided we were going to move. But how did we... I can't remember how we... We went into these wagons, that was right. There was a railway line went upon. And I don't know whether they were carriages, because the wagons, the carriages were more like wagons, hard maybe. And then we went up into Israel, Palestine then. So, and we got disembarked at this place. No, like this, we got disembarked at Orange Grove. Well, there was no oranges at the time.
Do you recall where it was?
I can't remember where it was.
What date was this?
Oh, I can't remember the date. Because days and dates, you forgot, you didn't seem to... And then we went through Haifa. We stopped there, I don't know how long we stopped there. But there was a stream we used to run through, and these Jewish girls used to come in, and they used to come in, strip all off and get in, and they didn't out, and we did the same, like, because it was quite warm, the streams, like, and it wasn't very deep, like, it just gives you to get a good bath, like. And then we...
This didn't cause any problems?
No, it didn't cause any problems at all.
Had you much opportunity to meet Jewish people?
No, no opportunity at all to meet with the Jews. But they were really enticing, like, because they used to walk around half naked, some of them. They just lay little shorts on, you know. Mm. And just the brassiers on. Some had no brassiers at all on. Ah. But we controlled ourselves, like, because they see our tools, like that, too. Mm. We hadn't amalgamated with the civilians and out.
And how were you living in the grove? Were you in tents?
Just bivouacs.
And was the battalion at full strength now?
Well, as far as I know, it was. Because then we got to move. And I don't know, yes, we went into trucks. We went to the Lebanon-Palestine border. And we disembarked there. And we started marching up to a place called Merjeyoun. And then we got there and we found the Australians, the headquarters, who was building a big house. So we went there, the 2nd Platoon, the advance party had been there, and they said, right, 2nd Platoon up in this barn place, upstairs in a barn. And we had the HQ in this big house, like the ordinary room and everything, like RSM. And his regiment of police was all there. And that was me a routine, because we never had any communication with the forward battalions. They used runner, because it was hilly.
So you weren't using any signal equipment?
No signal equipment at all.
Now, what was the terrain like? What was the terrain that you were operating
hilly.
In?
Oh, it was hills all round, like this Merjeyoun. And
What were you doing if you couldn't use and put up equipment and so on? What kind of thing were you doing?
Just doing guards, that's all. And getting ourselves settled in. I don't know what the deuce we did. But past the time, yeah.
Were you used as runners? Were you used as runners?
Company runners. Just a company one. Mm. And the signalman stopped it with the company. He said there was two signals with each company. They stopped, but the company runners used to come back to us.
Was Ardern still with you as commander?
Yes, Ardern was still a... And he was with us for a long time. Then we... he said they weren't going to do any attack, and we were just more like in the defensive, like, because they said we were more like suicidal. So they got to know that the French Foreign Legion, there was a French Foreign Legion, and Singhalese was there. And the Australian information they got, and they were Australians, but relieved, that the idea of these dug into the ground in caves and used to bring them out, fire them, and take them back. And they said it'd be suicidal to take them, to try and attack on them. So they says, so all of a sudden there was a word went out that two signals are wanted. And they were going to send a platoon patrol, round where we came back. And we had an overnight march. And I think we went, I think maybe 12 miles round, way out towards the coast. And then up, and then round where this mountainside. And so... We had a heliograph with us. And Birchenoff was the officer. I can't remember now. But he gave us a map reference. He got the maps out. And we set this heliograph up. And he says, now, the battalion HQ is somewhere in that region. So what we did was, he got the old telescope out. And we could in the distance, we could nearly distinguish it. Because we were about nearly 7 miles from there. And then we set up the heliograph. And what gave an idea was we sat it on this and we kept moving it backwards and forwards. And all of a sudden we got an answer back because they'd been told to look out for us. And we sent our messages, sent some messages that we'd arrived, everything like. And so we built sat down, like, and every now and then we would call up, call side, just to keep the sun on the little spot on the heliograph.
Then what was the job that your unit was
doing? I don't know what the job was.
Were you behind the French?
I think we were behind the French. And so all of a sudden, we'd been there about, we got there early morning, and we said we were just wondering whether we'd be behind. We didn't know whether we'd be behind or in the middle of this French Foreign Legion. And then all of a sudden, word comes through and it says, return. Return to Battalion HQ. And so we marched back nearly where we come. We come to a main road, and they had some transport for us to take us back to battalion. But it wasn't where we left the battalion HQ, it was another place. And we joined them there, and we said, we asked them quietly, like, what was the matter? They says, oh, they found out the French Foreign Legion, there was Englishmen, Germans, and everything, and Frenchmen, and the Singhalese, and they found out that they were, instead of being facing the Australians, they're facing the British, so they give themselves up. They said they packed in. They said they wouldn't fight the English. Oh. That's what we got to know. I don't know if it's true, like. So we settled down there, and then all of a sudden we moved up to further up. I don't know what happened. I think all the foreign legion that had gone back to Aleppo, further north, and then we settled ourselves down there, and they found out that there'd been an armistice. And then next day, me and I was Lance Corporal, and Armand was a full corporal. They said, you're going back to Cairo on a signal course. So we went back to Cairo.
Had you had any kind of action against the French?
No guns at all. There's none at all. As far as I know, like, because we weren't with the forward battalions, like, in their companies. And so me and Armand went back to Cairo.
Do you remember when this date was?
Which on the certificate upstairs. And so we went to a place called Mardi, and we settled in tents there, and that's when we went on the signal course.
You went on your signal course. What were you doing? Had anything changed since your last courses that you were on?
Well, this was an instructor's course. Regimental Signals Instructor's course, an RSI course. It was all NCOs and officers from all the infantry battalions that was in the desert. There was Australians, New Zealanders, there was South Africans. There was nearly two from every regiment in the British Army was there, by the Corps of Guards, the Guards League, but all infantry battalions, and there was the Border Regiment, and there was the Scottish Regiment, the Black Watch, the Gordon Highlanders, and the Scottish and Scottish Borders, and we got on quite well with everybody. We got all, the first day we all got in one, there was lecture huts, and the instructors. There was a sergeant, Charlton. He was, he's a DLI. He'd been on a course, And he'd got a good report, so they asked him if he'd transfer to the Royal Signals, so he did. And look happened, he took us on the course. And so the officer in charge was, welcomed us all to this. And I can't remember how long it took, we had to go on for it. I'll have to look it up sometime. And so we quite enjoyed it. We started off the basics, what to do, how to get the confidence of your men, and how to start off them with from basic. And this is, he told us that your lady know, he says, always bring it in to where you start, how you started, and make it straight through like that. So we went through all the routine, just as if we were on a. And then we, that was for the first week. Then we had to get up in front of them and give lectures. That was the fun. And especially when the Scotchman got up, we could hardly understand them. And when I got up talking, and started to go away, and they were all moist, open mouthed. And so I asked them, I says, can't you understand me? He says, well, I've never heard a North Country man speak before. So it went well, like, and they were very friendly. All the it's funny, the all the foreign country officers, Australians, the New Zealanders, they were more like us. They never, you wouldn't think they'd been officers. So we got on quite well with them, and we used to do decent go out into the desert. And we'd have to write over, he says, now you're trained to be an officer. If you get promoted to be an officer in the signal platoon, this is what you. So we had to go out and organise the layout of such a communications. And you had to, each man had to, one was about three a day we used to do, three persons a day would go out. And you had the maps with you. And then they give you positions where your companies would be, and what equipment you would have. You have to reckon out what equipment you would want, and what route you would take, how many men would take, and to measure up, say from the battalion HQ on the map, and then you had to measure to the give you a position where each company was, and you would have to measure on the map how much cable you would need for such a telephone, and what you would do before you got the telephone, and what you would do, had to do was to try and get in visual contact, because the signalers at each company was two, and they always used to look out, and if not, they would come back to the battalion HQ, tell them that they're ready to set up for communications, like visual, like, and that went on, and we were, then we, each one was given like be a company commander, and then there'd be another one be a signal officer and a signal sergeant, and that went through the whole course.
And was this still largely based on the techniques that you'd learned over the years?
Yes, technique.
There was nothing new
coming in. New, no. We had no radios. There were no radios then, yet, and you. So we went back, we finished our course, and we passed. And the officer said, he says, now we can wear your flags above your stripes. It says on your left forearm. He says, now we qualify as a sergeant. He says, and your certificates bring forward to the battalion HQ. And so that he's nearly torn up the one upstairs, they got upstairs. So we, we'll have to find out where our battalion is. So he says, oh yes, we know where your regiment is. And they give us we got it on the train at Cairo, and we went right through to Haifa on the train, even across the canal on the railway line there. So we got to Haifa, and got up at Haifa, and we were met by the MOT, I think it's Minister of Transport, you know, the officer in charge of the transport and
transport officers.
And we said that we were from the 1st Battalion, which is Admiral, so we got billeted in some civilian houses, like. So next day, he said, right, oh, there's a truck ready for you. And I think, this is a wagon. Yes, aye. And he says, your battalion is near Aleppo. Right up in, set it up in Lebanon, right on the Turkish border. And when we got, I think it was 2 days' ride in this truck. Come out, one good roads up there. So we ended up in this Aleppo, so we had to walk from, and they were surprised, oh, this is here. He's Joe Bate, well, they called me Joe then. And he's Joe Bate and Frosty Armand, that was back again. So they were all up to strength again. So, and that's when we got to know the Essex lads more, like. But we said, they were in barracks. And I said, bah, you're all right here, like. He says, you should have said it when we first come. The natives had been in them there, and they'd done all the business. They'd never cleaned them up, nothing, and it stunk. And we've been on a week nearly, cleaning them all out, swilling them all the barracks out, like.
These were French native troops.
The French native troops, aye. And I don't know. I don't think there was any. I think there was all earth lavatories there. I think. I'm not quite sure, like. But I can't remember much. And now we went down into Aleppo itself, and there were some French brothels like there, French prostitutes that were all right. But as far as entertainment, there was no entertainment in Aleppo. And then one night we went down and we had a walk around, like, and all of a sudden we come to this big house, and this young tar come to the door, and she says, come in here, come here. So he took us in the back way. I said, well, what's in here? It was a posh brothel. It was an French officer. And so we spent the whole night there. And there was me, Jackie Close, and Bennett, and Sandy, Sanderson. Like.
What did the brothel look like? Was it
just like a house. Oh, it's a great big room, like. Mm. And there's a great big bed in the middle, like.
So how are you, in effect, presented to the females? Do they line up for you?
No, they were just sat round in.
Mm. And do you select?
Yeah, we all got in the same bed. And says, oh, well, this is grand, like. So we stopped there with a few drinks, like. Then all of a sudden, there was a scatter. He says, get your clothes on. So we all get dressed, like, and they took us down, this, like a laundry suit, shoot. we shot outside in his backyard. And this native was there, and he showed us a way, like. Somehow or other, the French officers had come, or it was either the French officers or the police, the MPs had come.
What were the charges? Was it expensive?
No. I can't remember what currency. I don't think we used Egyptian money, I think. I was about 50 acres, I think. Because they had Egyptian pound. It was more equivalent to English pound. And I can't remember now. And another time we went down into Lebanon, like, into Aleppo. Went into the regimental one, like. But they weren't excellent. There was one I went with. She says, don't look my hair up. She said, I'm just standing done.